This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I do want to talk today, Howard, about whether or not Israel should respond to this attack by Iran that we saw on Saturday evening. And I'd like to invite listeners to share their views with us about the pros and cons of Israel potentially attacking or not attacking, as the case may be, in response to this attack. And I'll obviously share my views as well. But before we go there, usually around this time of year, when we get to the end of our rainy season, I like to talk about Israel's water resources. And in recent years, that discussion has become a little less significant because we've got so much desalination of water now that whether the Kinneret is almost full or not that full or whatever has become much less of an issue. In years gone by, it was always an issue. We measured every single meter of water that we had in the Kinneret in the Sea of Galilee at the end of the rainy season. But today I want to talk just very briefly about Israel's water agreement with Jordan, because that agreement is due to come up for renewal or due to end in another month from now. Israel has an agreement with Jordan where initially it was agreed that Israel would transfer 50 million cubic feet of water to Jordan each year. Considering Israel itself has its own water challenges, that's quite some agreement to agree to transfer all of that water to Jordan. And then Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, back in the summer of 2021, agreed to double the amount of water to 100 million cubic feet of water each year that Israel has been transferring to Jordan. And as I said, that agreement comes to an end in another month from now. And the Jordanian government has kind of been playing a very interesting game over the past few months, where on the one hand, they've been highly critical of Israel and the war in Gaza, and even aligned themselves to the South African efforts at the International Court of Justice to accuse Israel of genocide. All of that on the one hand, and we've seen some very, very negative reports coming out of Jordan, particularly from the royal family, about Israel's activities in Gaza. On the other hand, and below the surface, they've been doing everything that they can to renew this water agreement, because Jordan, being almost a landlocked country as it is, has much more significant water challenges than Israel. Anyway, it seems as if, though, and particularly in light of Jordan's assistance over the weekend in shooting down some of those missiles that came from Iran, it seems as if, though, the water agreement will be extended, perhaps not for 3 years in the way that the Jordanians had hoped and wanted, but potentially for another year. In fact, I think they'd originally asked for a 5-year extension of the agreement. It seems as if, though, now Israel and Jordan are moving towards an agreement whereby the agreement will be extended for 1 year from now, and we'll see what happens in another year time. But it's just interesting how different interests in different areas suddenly come together. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't think that Israel was going to be leaving Jordan literally high and dry. And so they've agreed, at least for now, it seems, to extend this agreement for another year. 100 million cubic feet of water each year that Israel will make sure gets to Jordan.
But the reality is that, and it's something that you and I have spoken about many times over the years, is that economic relationships, business relationships are enormously valuable and helpful to people, almost, and really can be one of the most important tools to bring people together towards peace.
all agreed, and how ironic it is that in spite of all of that, sometimes you get the horrendous attitude and the complexity of the statements that have been made by some representatives from the Jordanian government who've been so critical, particularly the Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayman al-Safadi, who has really made some very negative statements to Israel over the past few months.
So what more is now known about the Iranian attack over the weekend?
Well, there are snippets of information that are coming out in retrospect about what went down with the Iranian attack. And one of the things that's quite interesting that's come out is that I've seen in some reports suggesting that a number, if not many, of the ballistic missiles that were fired towards Israel didn't actually even make it out of Iranian territory. There were reports suggesting that there were many, many failures of those ballistic missiles. We've read that something like 120 ballistic missiles all in all were fired towards Israel, but it seems as though quite a lot of them didn't actually even make it out of Iranian airspace for one reason or another. Many of them failed upon launch. Many of them came down soon after launch. Many of them misfired for one reason or another. And so that's clearly not reflecting very positively on Iran's war capabilities. And when assessing, you know, whether Israel should retaliate, many of these are important factors: how prepared Iran is, how powerful Iran is, how accurate their firepower is. Do they have anti-missile systems? The answer to which I believe is that they don't have much in the way of anti-missile systems. Perhaps some of the Russian anti-missile systems, which haven't been proven to be particularly effective against Israel. Also, Iran has come under a lot of humiliation in the public area for firing and creating all this, all the headlines and threatening, and then going ahead and firing all these missiles. And ultimately, the impact on Israel has been almost very little. I mean, we've seen yesterday the Chief of General Staff visited the Nevatim Air Base, which is where some of the missiles were reported to have fallen. And there is certainly some damage that's been caused there. There were some reports there was an aircraft damage, but I'm not sure that that's correct. There is certainly some building that's been damaged and a little bit of damage on the runway, but the airbase itself is operating as usual. And we saw the Chief of General Staff at the airbase yesterday reviewing the situation and, of course, trying to show some support because publicly that airbase is the one place that has been reported to have been hit. But what was for me very, very interesting was, first of all, seeing the video footage of what came out of the Iranian parliament after the attack was launched on Saturday, where they showed all the parliamentarians standing up and screaming, "Death to Israel, death to the United States." This was their response to that particular attack. And the other thing which was interesting for me is this massive poster that has been put up in Palestine Square in Tehran. And the poster shows an Israeli flag on a pole with Iranian missiles flying over it or flying towards the flag, some of them over the flag, and a message in Hebrew, which has been put up in Palestine Square in Tehran. And the message in Hebrew says the following: "Hata'ut haba'a shelachem tiye sof ha-medina ha-mezuyefet shelachem," which means the next mistake of yours will be the end of your fake country. That's the message that has been put out in Palestine Square in Tehran following the attack. So for those people who still claim that this is about the occupation, the so-called occupation, who claims that this is all about a land dispute, who claim that this is really about Israel's unreasonableness in dealing with the Palestinian situation, this is a clear message that all of that is really a pretext to the reality, which is the last words of the message that has been put up in Palestine Square, which is "Sof hamedina hamezuyefet shelachem," will be the end of your fake country. The end, of course, is important. This concept of the fact that Israel is a fake country and doesn't really belong here at all in the first place is also very important. So I think that those are really the clear and loud messages coming out of the attack on Saturday night. I think in Israel, we need to be very, very cautious about proclaiming victory and celebrating what was really, what seems at least to have been a relatively simple attempt to try to prevent the attack from Iran penetrating Israel and creating any level of damage or destruction in Israel, which it really didn't. I think that this potentially has a long way to go. But of course, the real question on everybody's lips is, will Israel retaliate? And if so, how that will come? And the more that we move past the attack of Saturday night, the more the rhetoric is ramping up to say Israel cannot afford not to retaliate. And we've seen Yuli Edelstein today saying if Israel doesn't respond, Iran will think it can attack every day, every week. That's actually, those were the words of Yuli Edelstein, who is an Israeli politician. There is certainly a feeling that if Israel just allows things to stand as they are right now, that that will show some weakness, that that will show Iran that those kind of attacks are acceptable and okay. There are people who are saying that if Israel does respond, it could potentially signal the start of World War III. That's what some people are saying, and I've certainly heard that message more than once, and that this could potentially be something which takes the region into a conflict. And as we've already seen, it draws in the US and it draws in the UK. The Saudi Arabians are involved, the Jordanians were involved. So it begins to draw in forces not only from within the region, but indeed from beyond the region. And therefore, people are suggesting that it could be the start of a World War III if Israel retaliates and then Iran feels that it needs to retaliate back again. The message coming out of the Israeli government seems pretty clear. There will be some retaliation. That is the clear message that's coming out. We don't know what that means and whether it'll be a direct retaliation or be something below the surface. The International Atomic Energy Agency is very concerned about an attack that might be directed towards the Iranian nuclear facilities. They have already said that Iran has excluded inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency, have kept those inspectors away from the nuclear facilities, which is clearly not the agreement that Iran has. So there are so many different factors that are coming into the consideration here about whether Israel should retaliate, whether Israel should retaliate, what the risks and rewards are. And of course, I'm interested to hear the views of other people.
Alina Maharaj says, Howard, to your guest's question, I think that Israel shouldn't retaliate because this is exactly what Iran wants. Further, does Israel have millions to spend, considering they might have already spent billions on this war? That was Anita Maharaj. And Hachamor says, Israel should put a message in Arabic on Dizengoff Square. Okay, I don't want to go into that one too much. Karen says, catch Iran when they're not expecting it. And Unsigned says, shouldn't they finish the war in Gaza, going to Rafah before taking on Iran? Roland says, mentioned this yesterday, not sure if Israel should retaliate with military means. This whole thing is becoming an uncontrollable power keg. Perhaps it should be the last resort. Kim says, why can Israel not use this leverage to try and get the hostages back? And then Hachamor says, Israel should attack in ways that can't be said to be Israel directly. I'm sure that those plans are already in place and in motion already. So those are some of the thoughts.
Well, some of the interesting things, just to tie into some of the comments that were made, and the Prime Minister yesterday did announce that any operation in Rafah that he spoke about, where he said there was a date that had been set, has now been delayed. And perhaps that is as a result of activities in Iran. What is also quite interesting is that the US government has come out saying, by the way, about the hostage negotiations, this is really an obstacle that Hamas is creating and that Israel has really done whatever it can in order to make an offer to get a hostage transfer exchange program in place. So the US government really coming up with a lot of supporting rhetoric at the moment to Israel, saying that even though it doesn't support Israel retaliating against Iran, it certainly won't stand in Israel's way, which I think is a very significant non-negative statement, which we can really translate into quite a positive statement. So really, those are the words on people's lips right now. And I think that many other countries around the world are feeling the same, that even though they would prefer Israel not to retaliate, I think that the Western world in general, including many countries in Europe, have said they will not stop Israel from retaliating in the event that it decides to do so. The question is, how will this retaliation come? If indeed it does come, will it come sort of under the surface? Will it be done in some subterfuge sort of way? Will it be a direct attack? Only time will tell. But of course, we can speculate in the meantime.
And that is all we have time for. It is 8 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you on 34519 or 0618951019. That was the Israel Report with Anthony Reich. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Hi, it's Barry Cohen from the Blue Agency. Israel is currently facing one of its biggest challenges ever. All of Klal Yisrael is praying for the safety of our soldiers and the return of the hostages. We hope and pray that our soldiers and security forces will prevail and that they will all return home speedily and triumphant. We hold the hands of our clients and friends who have children serving in Tzahal, who are protecting Israel and Jews around the world. May Hashem protect us all.